Taita drove down the escarpment towards the river and the village of Daba. The horses responded to his touch, moving to an easy motion that cosseted the wounded boy on the footplate. Taita seemed to have known with some deep instinct just what medicines and dressings Nefer would need, and he'd carried these with him. After he'd redressed the wounds, he'd led the horses to a hidden water seep nearby, where the bitter water had revived them. He'd taken Mintaka up on the footplate and turned the horses' heads unerringly in the direction of Daba and the river. Beside him, Mintaka had pleaded with him almost tearfully to explain to her how he'd known that they needed him and where to find them. Taita had smiled gently and called to the horses, "Gently, Narhammer! Steady, Stargazer!" On the floorboards, Nefer was deep in the drugged sleep of the Red Shepan, but his wounds were staunched, cleaned, and bound with linen bandages. A red and angry sunset was fading over the Nile like a dying bushfire. The boats of the fleet were still anchored in the stream, like children's toys in the fading light. Apepi and Naja rode out to meet them from the village of Daba. Lord Naja was highly agitated, and Apepi bellowed at his daughter as soon as they were in range of his bull voice.
"Where have you been, you stupid child? Half the army's out looking for you."
Lord Naja's agitation abated as soon as he came close enough to see Nefer bandaged and unconscious in the bottom of the chariot cockpit. He became almost sanguine when Taita explained to him the extent of Pharaoh's injury. Barely conscious, Nefer was carried down to the river bank on a litter and lifted gently aboard one of the galleys by a party of boatmen. "I want Pharaoh taken up to Thebes with all possible speed," Taita told Naja, "even if it means a night journey. There's a very real danger that the wounds will putrefy. This happens with injuries received from one of the great cats. It's almost as though their fangs and claws are steeped in some virulent poison."
"You can order the galley to sail at once," Naja said in front of the company, but then took Taita's arm and led him a short way along the river bank to where they could not be overheard. "Bear in mind, Magus, the charge laid on you by the gods. I discern their divine intervention in these extraordinary circumstances. If Pharaoh were to die from his wounds, no person in either kingdom would take it as unnatural." He said no more, but gazed into Taita's face with those piercing yellow eyes. "The will of the gods will prevail against all else," Taita agreed quietly, but enigmatically. Naja read in his reply what he wanted to hear. "We are in accord, Taita. I place my trust in you. Go in peace. I will follow you back to Thebes after Apepi has been taken care of." The phrasing of this last remark struck Taita as unusual, but he was too distracted to ponder it. Naja smiled mysteriously and went on, "Who knows, we may have momentous news for each other when we meet again." When Taita hurried back on board the galley, he went to the small deck cabin in which Nefer lay and found Mintaka kneeling beside the litter in tears.
"What is it, my darling?" he asked her gently. "You've been as brave as a lioness. You've fought like a warrior of the gods. How can you dissolve into despair now?"
"My father's taken me back to Avaris in the morning. But I should be with Nefer. I'm his betrothed. He needs me. We need each other."
She looked up at him piteously, and he could see that she was both physically and emotionally exhausted. She seized his hand.
"Oh, Magus, will you go to my father and ask him to let me go back to Thebes and help you take care of Nefer? My father will listen to you."
But Apepi snorted with laughter when Taita attempted to persuade him.
"Place my lamb in Naja's pen." He shook his head with amusement. "Can't trust Naja as I would a scorpion. And who knows what tricksy drive I gave him that coin to bargain with. As for that young puppy Nefer, he'd be up her skirts as quick as a hawk on a bustard if he hasn't travelled that road already." He laughed again. "I don't want to debase the currency of her virginity. No, warlock, Mintaka comes back under my wing to Avaris until her wedding day. And none of your magic spells will change my mind on that.
Sadly, Mintaka went to take her leave of Nefer. He was on the edge of consciousness, weak from the blood he'd lost and the drug. But when she kissed him, he opened his eyes. She spoke quietly, pledging her love, and he watched her eyes as she spoke. Before she rose to leave him, she took the golden locket that hung at her throat.
"This contains a lock of my hair. It's my soul, and I give it to you."
She placed it in his hands, and he folded his fingers tightly around it. So Mintaka stood alone on the bank of the Nile as the swift galley bearing Nefer and Taita breasted the current. With 20 oarsmen aside and a white curl under her prow, she headed upstream towards Thebes. Mintaka did not wave at Taita's tall silhouette on the stern, but watched him forlornly.